Hey guys, this is our weekly podcast by Cornerstone Church of Ione. We're so glad that you decided to join. We are a church family passionate about seeing people worship Jesus, grow in their faith, and serve those around them. If you would like to learn more about Cornerstone, please visit us at cornerstoneione.org, or you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
All right, well, hey, good morning again. We're going to dive into the Word here in just a minute. If you like to get ahead, or maybe it takes you a little longer to find books of the Bible, we're going to be in Matthew, so just start looking for Matthew there. For Christmas, we do something called Advent. It's the celebration of the coming of the Messiah, and so we do Advent, which is 4 weeks before Christmas. We spend Sundays, a portion of it, focusing on the birth of Christ. And so we thought it'd be cool, like, hey, Easter is significant, right? That's where we remember the death and resurrection of Christ for the atonement and payment of our sins. And so let's spend a couple weeks in advance looking at that. And what we decided to do is look at miracles that happened around the event of the crucifixion of Christ and take those times to focus on parts of the cross and the miracle of Jesus Christ raising from the dead. Spoiler alert, that's next week, okay? So the first one we looked at was the foretelling. We look at prophecies in the Old Testament, foretelling what Jesus would do that we see fulfilled throughout the New Testament. And these prophecies are given sometimes hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ was even born. And so then the miracle of that is that as there are many people, by the way, named Jesus right now. There were many people named Jesus back then. Well, we need to know who's the Messiah, who's Christ. Who is the one sent from God to pay for sins and reconcile his people and redeem his people back to himself? The prophecies helped us identify who that person would be. And Jesus Christ goes and he begins to fulfill those over and over. And it's just a miracle as you see the pinnacle of it happen on the cross there. And then on the cross, you see there's this portion of time where the world, from what we know, goes dark. And so we're like, well, what was that? Why did the world go dark? Was it a cloudy day? Was it nighttime? Was it an eclipse? Or was it a miracle? Like, what was it? And we end up spending that morning talking about that. It was a miracle. And although we can't put our finger on, this is for sure 100% why God made the earth dark, we can look at it and we can know that there wouldn't have been darkness if there wasn't sin. And the darkness was taken care of on the cross. So then we move on to the torn veil, and last week we spoke about that. And in my small group, we debrief it, and so I'm like, all right, guys, and I kind of go through my little spiel, and it was interesting. Like, I think that my whole small group understood that the curtain was torn is by the power of God that was torn. What really got them was this. Now buckle up, put your spiritual belts on right now and your thinking caps. They're like, the curtain was 4 inches thick? Like, that's a thick curtain. And they got really excited about, like, this curtain being 4 inches thick, because that even is more a miracle, right? Like that. And then also, I think just the idea of a curtain that thick. And so we had to kind of spur on greater conversation as we went. And then by the end, we were talking about, one of the things we concluded with is that we do get to have a personal relationship with the creator of the universe by way of Jesus' work on the cross, redeeming us back to himself, paying for sin, and absorbing the wrath and penalty for sin on him and not us in our place, so that as we place our faith in Jesus, that is applied into us by a gracious gift. And that happens, and that there will be a day where there's some sort of judgment, there's some sort of separation of the herds of Christ followers and not Christ followers, and as God exacts who is on what side, there will be a time that we will have to account for something. Or there will be some accounting process. And in that moment, we discuss how it will never be asked who your spouse was. It'll never be asked, like, well, what church did you go to? What denomination were you a part of? How many potlucks did you go to? How many times did you pray? Who were your parents? Who's your mom and dad? How rich were you? How many good things did you do for the poor? Those things will not be asked. What will be asked and what will be important is, did you place your faith in Jesus Christ as the one that can get the job done when you failed? That you trust that Christ's work on earth and on the cross was sufficient to pay for your sins, and that you have failed, and there's a substitutionary atonement that happened on your behalf, and you've accepted that through faith. And that's by nothing that we've done. There's nothing for us to boast about. It's all about Jesus. And then this week, we're going to talk about something that is simultaneously trendy and not trendy all at the same time. We're going to start with fireworks, though. And we will get to the topic. And trust me, it'll all loop back in. At least in my brain, it all loops back in. All right, so there's something in my brain, something about the way I'm wired. I enjoy fireworks, even particularly the fuse part. When you light that, and it begins this process where something magnificent is going to happen. Like, I like that part. And just by a show of hands, how many of you feel that a little bit too? There's something about fireworks that gets you excited. Just raise your hand. Okay, thank you. So there is something that is shared in the room now, and it's about like the joy of fireworks. Now, there was a time in my life, I don't want to really explain all the circumstances, but I was playing with fireworks unsupervised, and I was probably about 10 years old. And I was at an apartment complex in Portland, and you know ground blooms? Everybody knows ground. They're like the cheap ones. You just buy because you can't like, you know, have a 30-second fireworks show, so you buy like a brick of these ground blooms, and they go right? So I had those, and those seem very harmless. And I think they probably are, unless you throw them in the air because you want to see the in the air. So my brother and I were doing that, and we'll break there for a second. Now, this apartment complex, I don't know why they did this. They stacked Christmas trees next to this apartment complex. Like, I think the manager said, put all the Christmas trees and we'll just do one run. Now it's July and they're still there. Yeah. I lit one of those ground blooms, and I promise you, I threw it not towards that pile of trees. I threw it up in the air, and as it did its spinny thing, it took off sideways, went square in the middle of that thing, and immediately, because there's a little bit of a hill, and so I go running up there, and I look, and I swear, it's like that thing had been going for an hour. It was huge. It was cracking and popping. I could hear wind coming off of it. Fire alarms are going off and everything. And of course, you know what I did, right? A normal person goes in and is like, hey, big problem. I started the apartment complex on fire. Let's get out of here. Pull the alarm. I go in. I get a pan. I turn on the sink. I'm like, I've never seen water go so slowly before. Like, usually I'm getting water on me. Water's coming out so fast, and this pan is not filling up. And so I go out there, and I'm going to dump this on there, and we don't even get it on the fire, because I don't know if you've been next to a big fire. That's way too hot. That's way too hot. I mean, firefighters, they're heroes. They're heroes. That's sometimes hard for me to say, but firefighters are heroes, okay? They do great stuff, and they can go in, and they do their hero work, and it's right around fire stuff. And I did not like the fire stuff, so I go back in. Now, my mom is starting to think, wait a second, there's sirens, and Brian's going in and out of the house. What's going on? Sure enough, she's asked me why I'm filling this up, and I said I started a fire. I tried to make it sound really small. Turns out the building was on fire. I go out there. Fire trucks from Portland all over the place are there trying to put this thing out. Some neighbor with a hose, and the firefighters have a conversation with me. To be honest, I don't remember the conversation. I was so scared. I thought I was going to jail or something. So long story short, fireworks can be dangerous there, but I have always loved fireworks. So now I try to be a mature adult, mainly for it to be an example to Blake so he doesn't do the same stuff. And now what do responsible firework people do? We go to a fireworks show and we don't touch them. Okay, I'm just going to, like, responsibility-wise, that's what I do. However, in Washington, fireworks are different. They're real fireworks. Like, they have a tube, and you put them in the hole, and then you light this fuse that's, like, that long. I think I said that wrong. You take the firework, you put it in a tube, you light the fuse, it goes, burns down, gives you enough time to sprint away from them. And as I'm explaining it, I realize why it's a little dangerous, but you sprint away from it, and boom, it shoots that thing up in the air and goes, poof, right? It's beautiful. So my brother and I, parents are gone, right? We're like, wait a second, PVC pipe right there shoots out of the hole. We have PVC pipe in the garage. We can make a rocket launcher. And so we do this, and we think, like, it doesn't have to be the exact right size, right? I mean, it's just like a, and the thing comes out, right? And so we start trying to rocket launch these fireworks at each other, and these are like those big aerial things. So boom, and it shoots, and like Charlie's running, and we're jumping out of the way and stuff. And well, if my parents weren't worried, I bet you it would have been fun to watch. Because I put out a grass fire with my leg, burnt all my leg hair off. If you know me, that's a big deal. So another thing that happened, I put duct tape on the back end because I'm not an idiot. I know it has to shoot out the front, right? Well, it burned that duct tape. I didn't know it. So we throw another one in there. Brother takes off running. That thing lights and goes poof, and I hear this, and it just falls right out the end of the thing. So we ditch the rocket launcher and we start running. And you know how things go in slow motion? I looked over at my brother. I think I really thought we were going to die together in that moment. And the thing blew up, and it's like they had crackly things. And I remember jumping and looking over, and crackly things are all around us going off in slow motion. One of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. So, long story short, you guys are like, this better go somewhere, right? We're wasting a lot of time. No, this is going somewhere. So now we go to fireworks shows. And if you go to homecoming's coming up, this is going to work perfectly. Because my hope is now that when you go to homecoming, you watch the fireworks, you're going to be like, wait a second, Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he raised other people. Let's think about this. Have you been to a fireworks show? I don't know if you've noticed this, but I'd really be curious to see who's noticed this. There are fireworks that put off no color. They're just a loud noise. Has anybody noticed that? They just go, boom! They're just like really loud bang. There's no color or anything. If you see it right, you can see the silhouette of the smoke sometimes. But you hear the, you know how you can hear, boom, 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 right? Boom, it goes up, and you can see it go up, and you can see the black smoke. No color, loudest bang of all the fireworks are those ones. They don't put out any color. Now, we really don't care about those ones. Nobody's going to go and be like, hey, I heard there's a big loud noise thing happening. Let's all go, like, listen. Nobody's going to do that. We go for the color, right? The big display, we wait for the grand finale. We're always trying to guess when it starts. Oh, this is it, for sure. Like, oh, no, this is the first. We try to guess where all that color is going to be. And we don't go because of the noise, right? Primarily color. If there was just color, still noise. If there was just color, no noise, we would still go. If it was just noise, no color, we probably wouldn't go. However, for some reason, they send these fireworks up that just go bang really loud. And you know what it does? You feel it inside of you, and it draws in the full experience of explosions going off in the sky in this fireworks show, just this incredible amount of beauty that's happening and excitement in those ones that we don't even notice that aren't part of the main fireworks show. They're not the big colorful ones, but they bring the fullness of the experience together. This morning's passage is not the fireworks show. The fireworks show is next week. This week is that really loud bang that helps us experience the fullness of what's going on and connect a lot of dots into the fireworks show that's happening where the real attention is deserved. Does that make sense? I hope so. We spent a lot of time on it, okay? So my hope is when you are at homecoming, you're going to remember this sermon. You're going to be watching the fireworks show, and you're going to hear poof, 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 and then poof, and you're going to be like, what was that? And you're going to be like, holy Toledo, Brian was right. They send out these little noisemakers, and we're going to think about how sometimes there's these things that happen that show the fullness and glory of what's going on, but they're not the main show. They're not the big lights in the sky. That light in the that sound, that's not the light in the sky. The sound this morning is zombies. And I'm not making stuff up, guys. I'm serious. I have talked to people this last couple weeks that have never read this passage, have never heard of it, did not know about these zombies. And we're going to talk about the miracle that happened with these zombies. God help us. Let's pray. Father, as we look at a passage that is found only in Mark, and there's quite discussion around the topic itself, that as we look at that, we will not be distracted with this, but that it would show the glory of what you have done. It would show a little foretaste of what is to come for us, and that we would worship you and glorify you more. Father, we love you, and in Jesus' name, amen. I looked up zombie because a lot of people call this the zombie passage or the Walking Dead passage. Now, I don't want to go too far into this because I think sometimes it reveals what's going on in our homes sometimes. We get a little like sketchy about that. How many of you guys watch zombie shows? Oh, there are some liars in the room this morning. Okay. Well, let's pretend that nobody here watches any zombie show ever in their entire life. I thought it was a new trend, all this zombie talk. So obviously, we're going to have to identify what is a zombie and what happened in the Bible so that we properly understand what's happening when we try to read this into our current culture. Zombie is this. This is the definition. A corpse said to be revived by witchcraft, especially in certain African and Caribbean religions. That's the first definition. The second definition, I think some of you guys will be well aware of. It is a tall mixed drink consisting of several kinds of rum, liquor, and fruit juice. You're like, oh, I have had that actually. Yeah. So we're going to be talking about this zombie, the corpse revived by witchcraft in the Caribbean and in African religions. Okay. It is very popular right now, and I thought it was new. It's not. Night of the Living Dead was a movie in 1968. Some of you guys are nodding, although you've never watched a zombie show. Night of the Living Dead 2 in 1990, Dawn of the Dead 2, Day of the Dead, Diary of the Dead, Shaun of the Dead. 28 Days Later, Land of the Dead, Dead and Breakfast. The Walking Dead, Dead Set. So these movies started a long time ago. There's shows. There's one of the most popular shows on Netflix in the last 3 years has been The Walking Dead. It is a popular thing. So I want to make sure we understand what was happening here because it does reflect what we're expecting in the future. Let's make sure and understand that, okay? So here we go. The passage that we're reading is Matthew chapter 27, 45 through 53. I put it on the slide, and I think it is large enough. I read it in the back. I think you can read that. If you can't, the good old Bible right in front of you, the app on the phone, you can read along. Matthew 27, 45 through 53. Here we go. At noon, darkness fell across the land until 3 o'clock. Does that sound familiar? Of course it does. We've been studying this. We're going to know the death and resurrection of Jesus and the things that surround us so well. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so that he could drink. But the rest said, wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him. Then Jesus shouted out again and he released his spirit. That moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That sounds familiar too. The earth shook, the rocks split apart, and tombs were opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. Let's read this one part again. The earth shook, rocks split, and tombs were open. The tombs of saints were open. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. That's not Jesus. Jesus had already been raised. Men and women, godly men and women, Christ followers, people who place their faith in God, they were raised from the dead. Not all of them, but some of them. Men and women were raised. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. Matthew accounts for this. The other synoptic gospels do not. I believe Matthew, well, what we assume happened is that Matthew, in his investigation time, heard several people talking about this or experienced it himself. Matthew was probably not at the cross when Jesus was crucified. Many of the disciples kind of hid, okay? So in their investigations to find out what happened, several people or himself experienced these saints that were raised walking in the holy city of Jerusalem. What's interesting is that this is called the Walking Dead, and what people think when they think about this, these people that have been laying in these graves or in these tombs for a long period of time, and their body decays, that at whatever point in decaying they were, whether completely bones or flesh kind of rotting off, that they stood up and they walked out like that, like mindless, droning on and on and on and walking around. That's because we think of zombies. We think of the movies now. Like, these people were not eating each other. That's not what was happening. They weren't mindless. They weren't attacking each other. These were people that were raised and recognizable and that weren't scaring people in the sense of how they looked, but they were like people that were raised. It was exciting. It was miraculous. It was mind-blowing. And we do believe this happened. And so as we look at the reality of that story, we would ask ourselves, like, what's happening? Why did this happen? Why would other people be raised when Jesus is raised from the dead also? See, the saints being raised is not the grand finale, the colorful display. That's Jesus Christ. The saints being raised are like the bang, the thing that helps you get the full experience, the addition to what's happening, seeing in totality what was being accomplished. And what we see is these saints being raised. It wasn't just a random bit of dead people. These were saints, followers of Jesus, believers in the way. They place their faith in God, the God of the Bible. And we believe that God put their spirit and their body together for however long they were there, and they walked again. They were raised from the dead. There's a theory that Jesus actually didn't die on the cross. That after everything he had been through, that he just passed out and was near death. Like, well, the Roman guards, they weren't doctors, right? So they didn't really know if they were dead or not, although they were professional at making sure people were dead, and they would have made sure he was dead if he wasn't. But they just, maybe he was just, you know, exhausted from everything and got really ill and passed out, and they took him off the cross, and he had a really faint pulse, and they put him in the tomb. Then the coldness of the tomb allowed him to heal miraculously. And then he walked out. Can you imagine what kind of sight that would be after everything that had been done to Jesus, then to walk out of the tomb somehow that was covered by a big stone and a guard, to walk out then and to go and try to make a tremendous movement that changed the entire world, stumbling about barely alive. Now, when we see these people that were dead raised from the dead, like they weren't also had a faint pulse and for years stayed in some cave and then came out. Also, there's a theory that Jesus never came out of the tomb, actually. It was his twin. Jesus had a twin, and his twin went around and was like, I'm the resurrected Jesus. Well, that would seem easy because you just go and you're like, oh, look, knock, 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 Jesus isn't in the tomb. He's gone. And it was guarded, and the body's gone. So what we see from these saints that were raised is that several saints who were dead, or sure dead, now have raised bodily form, not spirit. It's not like a spiritual resurrection. Jesus was raised in a bodily resurrection, a physical resurrection. He went around, he had holes in his hands from the crucifixion. They knew it was Jesus, but he walked around with energy. He was coherent. He ate with people. He talked with people. He encouraged people. And similarly, we see the saints have that type of resurrection also. By the power of God, they're raised, which points to a time when you and I will come out of the ground. If we die before Jesus comes back, we will burst from the ground. We will come and be put back together. There's questions that have been asked of me like, hey, as a pastor, do you think we should cremate? Because I know our bodies and our souls are going to be met back up. You know, it's like they're asking if God can really handle that. Emily and I, we did actually cremate a daughter that we lost kind of late in pregnancy. And I am 100% confident that God can take the ashes of Emma and the spirit and put them back together. And the soldiers that were blown to pieces overseas, that God can take those saints and put them back together with their spirit, and that they will be whole again. And that there will be these people that have been dead for thousands of years that come back and are reunited in their new bodies, same bodies, but renewed bodies, and then that is how we will live in paradise with Christ. That's what's spoken about in the Bible. With this passage, there's three things I think we need to take away from this. And the first one is this, that these were not zombies. We cannot go about reading this passage, thinking about Jesus' resurrection as him as a zombie, the saints' resurrection as them as a zombie, and our future resurrection as us as a zombie. That is not what the Bible communicates. That's a cool Hollywood storyline that none of us watch, but that is not the reality of what happens to us. These zombies that we picture from movies, they're barely alert, barely surviving, right? You need to hit them in a special place to kill them. If I'd ever watched one, you would have to hit them in a special place to kill them. And they eat each other, they devour each other, they turn on family, right? Like the daughter turns and they're like, oh, she's going to eat us now because she forgot who we were. Like, that's not what's described, and we can't let this current culture, although maybe a neat movie, be something that we then interpret from our recent experience as what the Bible's teaching, because it's not. 1 Corinthians 15 speaks of a new, raised, glorified, powerful spirit in a physical body. Spirit in a physical body. Powerful. Glorified. Not because we deserve glory, but because God has glorified us. The completion of sanctification will have happened. Glorified. That's not a zombie. When Jesus rose, we talk about he has holes in his hands, but he spoke, he related, he ate, he drank, and he did not eat anybody. The tomb was empty because Jesus' physical body was raised. The tomb was empty. Jesus' physical body was raised. He was not swooned and came back. It was not a twin. who is Jesus Christ by the power of God raised from the dead to live in new life as we look forward to as well. Jesus had scars from the crucifixion because it was his body that was placed back together. He was not bleeding. He was not infected. He had healed wounds. The second thing we just spoke about, the power of the triune God raised the dead. Typically, if I were to ever watch a zombie movie, it is some person that's running with a vial of like something that will kill the world, and they trip and it breaks. Or they're trying to get like a little bit of serum out of some jar, and you know the clumsy guy behind him bumps into her and she's like, oh, I poked myself. And then something spreads, right? And you see the little dot on the screen, and the government's like, oh, that's a problem there. It's getting bigger. And it's like, boop, 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 getting bigger. It was not a biological issue that caused the resurrection of the dead. It is the triune God, the power of the triune God that raised Jesus intentionally in a timely manner when he wanted to, by his power, raised him from the dead and the saints from the dead as well. And we look forward to a time in the future where by the power of the triune God, we will be raised from the dead. The third is this, that we will share in this resurrection. Some people are like, hold up, Brian, pump your brakes. Like, always be careful that there might be somebody who's not saved in the room. Don't give them false assurance that they'll experience the resurrection. I am saying that everybody in the room, whether saved or not, will experience the resurrection of their bodies. Let me read you something. Don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. All dead people will rise to two very different things. One thing to remember is that Jesus is the example. Philippians 3:20 says this, and this is 21 also. But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. See, if you try to argue that Jesus' resurrection was spiritual only, you don't understand what to expect for yourself. Like, how in the end times does God do this? In the same way he did with Jesus, a physical body reunited with your spirit. When there's a criminal on the cross next to Jesus and he says, remember me when you're in your kingdom, what does Jesus say back? Exactly. You will be with me today in my kingdom, right? Was his body taken off the cross and into the kingdom? No, his spirit did. There's a separate, the spirit, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We are with him in heaven. Our bodies are laid to rest. And there's a time where the bodies are resurrected, reunited with the spirit. And then the kingdom, the end part of that kingdom begins. If we don't understand that's a physical resurrection, that our resurrection will be like Jesus, we don't really know what to expect. And we have more questions and more questions than we need to have in the end. Our resurrection will be like Jesus's, and we'll share in the resurrection of the dead. And like I said, we will all be raised, whether we're saved or not, to two very different things. There are people in this room that will be raised to what is said is eternal life. And there will be people that are probably in this room that will be raised to judgment. And you will get exactly what you deserve. See, the thing is that we all deserve hell, right? We all deserve that. The gracious gift of God is that we get something we don't deserve. So as we die, our time for conversion is over. We do not baptize people in place of the dead to try to get them into heaven or anything like that. Like, your time is now to choose to follow Jesus or not. And there is a time where we'll be resurrected. If we die before Jesus returns, we'll be resurrected. There'll be some of us that are resurrected to something that we don't deserve, and that's eternity in paradise. And those of us who have not been forgiven by the power of God, nothing we can boast about, we just place our faith in Jesus, and there was substitutionary atonement that happened, stepped into our place. We were redeemed by his work and his power. we get eternity in heaven. Those who don't do that, you get exactly what we deserve. Eternal torments of hell. Very real place. People say, where does it talk about that? Well, you will rise to experience judgment, as well as Jesus talks about hell a lot. The Bible talks about hell a lot. It's a real place. There's heaven and there's hell. Just like when we see a good movie. You ever have somebody go and see a good movie? I think the last one I heard a bunch of talk about was Wonder Woman, and there's talk about some movie now. I don't know what it is, but it's like really big right now. Anyways, they can't shut their mouths about the movie because they're like, it's just so good. You need to know about this. You got to go see it. And you hear this thought, oh, it's worth it to see it in the theaters. I'm like, you don't know my family. It is not worth it to go see it in the theaters right now. No movie is that good right now. But they can't shut their mouth because it was so good. How much more should we have people that know what we deserve and know what we're saved from than want to go and tell people, you have to hear about this. You have to hear the good news. You have to hear what Jesus Christ did. You have to know your current condition. And just to place that in them, and like the power's in God's word, right? Anything good done is done by the power of God through us. So we should be wanting to go out there because we do believe there is. There will be people that will wake up to eternal life, and there will be people that wake up to experience judgment. For what purpose are we raised? And it's that. Because we do not believe that when you die, it's blackness and over. We believe that there is eternity. And we believe that there will be a time when all the herd, which would be all mankind, will be divided. Like we said last week, it will not be divided on who your spouse is. It will not be divided on how many times you showed up to church. It won't be divided by how much money do you put in the offering. If you make it to this amount, automatically in. None of that. They'll be divided by, are you covered by the blood of Jesus? Are you forgiven of your sins and your transgressions because of what Christ did? Did you place your faith in Christ? Knowing, I can't do it. Christ set the way. I'm going to follow this way. Nothing we have done to boast about. That's what's going to be asked in that time. And that time will come for everybody. We are supposed to live as if it is ever increasingly close. And that if you have not repented of sins and place your faith in Jesus. And by placing your faith in Jesus, that you trust Jesus, that he knows best, that his way is the right way, that he outlines this, and so I trust that that's the right way, and the fruit of that is obedience. If you haven't made that decision, if you haven't died to yourself to live for Christ, if you haven't taken up your cross, if you haven't placed your faith in Jesus, if you haven't placed your trust in Jesus, whatever way you want to phrase that, grace is not applied to you. And if you have, it is. And that repentant follower of Jesus, redeemed people as we pursue Christ and we fail and fail and fail, right? That's what we do. Followers of Jesus in the room, we fail and we fail and we fail. We constantly fall short. Those are forgiven. That's the grace of God in our lives. The saints being risen is not the big grand finale. It's the big bang noises that draws us into the full experience. And that points to something in the future, that not only did God raise Jesus, but also he did raise people and he's going to do it again. And let's hope that we're prepared for that. Let's pray. Father, as we look at some of the miracles surrounding your death and resurrection, including that when you rose, there's this section Matthew talks about that you raise saints. That we will not be confused thinking man is the miracle or that man is the Savior, but that you did the wondrous work on the cross and that you did beat death, and we celebrate in that, knowing that what you did then with the saints, you will do later with the saints, that you will raise us to new life as you have raised to new life. And that for those of us who have placed our faith in you, because we have fallen so short time and time again, that your forgiveness is applied into our life and that our debt is paid, and that there is a time when you come back that our bodies and spirits will be reconciled back together. And then in some glorious, unbelievable moment, you will say that we are redeemed. That in some miraculous way, we will know we did not do on our own what was necessary to be made righteous, but that you have made us righteous by a gracious gift given to us. I pray that there'd be a room full of people this morning that just surrender our lives, our struggles, our burdens, our fears, our lack of understanding to you. And that we would just place our faith squarely in you. That we would meditate on your word and we'd be transformed by your word, and that our mind would be renewed by your word. And that we would look forward to a day where, just as 2,000 years ago, your saints were raised, that your saints will be raised again. And that because of our faith and trust in you, there'd be something applied to some figurative account of our sin. Father, draw us to you. Let us know we are without excuse. And allow the people of Cornerstone to serve you and spread the good news. God, we look forward to another week glorifying you, and next Sunday being able to look at the grand finale of your work on the cross. And now as we give financially as well from what you've blessed us with, what you've given us, sustained us with, we give a portion of that back. I pray that it would be multiplied, that it would go towards your kingdom, that it would fulfill your mission for Cornerstone, and that more would be added to the kingdom so that there will be a day when more rise to spend eternity with you and less are risen into judgment. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Cornerstone Church of Ione. We hope that you found it encouraging and challenging. Please feel free to share this podcast with friends and family, and we will see you all next week.